And some of the things that's in the outline we may not mention. Some of the things that's not in the outline we probably will talk about. But try to get those things to you each week. And then if you miss one, you can always we always have extras and can take care of that. So as they pass those out, if you would be turning to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14, we'll read tonight. The study of the apostles are not, it's not going to be a detailed study. It's more or less just getting us acquainted with these men that were called from the disciples of the Lord. If you remember, last week we dealt with the disciples, those that were followers of the Lord Jesus, and how that he had those together, and he called out 12 from among them, and those men are called the apostles, had the message of the Lord, and they, of course, the word apostle means to be sent out or sent one. So tonight we will begin with the Apostle Peter. We look into the life of this man that is very, very important. A lot is said about Peter. He's one of the main disciples, and he is, as we mentioned this morning, and even last week, I think he is always listed first in all the lists that give the names of the apostles. And tonight we will begin with him. The back sheet that I gave you is the one that I should have had given to you last week, but did not. So before we get into the reading of the scripture and looking to Peter, I want us to look at this three levels of Christian commitment. And it gives you some details here. Right in the center, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And with him was that close fellowship that we find with Peter, James, and John. That is that group of men that the Lord had many dealings with them. They were involved in the ministry in a great extent. And they were the ones that that were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and other places. And so these are the three that we consider the inner circle with the Lord. John is the one that leaned upon the very chest of the Lord Jesus Christ and loved him so very intimately. And Peter and James were very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that shows us the real close fellowship that I believe every Christian ought to have as a believer. We should have that close relationship and fellowship with our Lord. But we find many times we are a little farther off from that than in the inner circle. We find sometimes that we are classified just as nominal Christians. We are doing just what's expected of us, not a whole lot of extra. And in that group you have Andrew, Philip, the other James and Bartholomew and Matthew. They were not as close to the Lord in the integral workings of him as these other three men were. Then you have that group that's on the fringe area. Those are the observers and the doubters, which, of course, always is the ones that are looking on the inside, wondering what is taking place. And you have those men listed. Of course, with that list is Judas Iscariot. And literally, he probably should have been in that on that other side where it says looking in, seeing the world, seeing what they might see. For we know that Judas was not a man that would be needed or wanted in any of our fellowships. Judas was not a saved man. He was lost. Even though he was picked by the Lord to be his disciple or his apostle, he did not have that relationship with Christ. And in the workings of the Lord, there was one that was to betray him, and Judas Iscariot was that betrayer. So tonight we begin our lessons with Simon Peter. Let's read in Matthew chapter number 14, and we'll read the familiar passage concerning Peter and the incident with Jesus coming, walking on the water, and Peter calling to him. Verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go beyond him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord tells his disciples to go to the other side, and he stays behind, and he sends the multitudes away and sends them on. Verse 23, is when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening would come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gerasaret. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. That's reading down through verse number 35. Here we have the account given in the book of Matthew of Jesus walking on the water. And of course, that is a very impossible thing for us to do. But when Peter heard and knew that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried out unto him and said, "If it be the Lord, if it be you, then you bid me to come." And Jesus simply said for him to come. The life of Peter is a very interesting life to study. His ups and downs, and maybe more downs than ups. But in the end, of course, Peter was very blessed of God and used of the Lord. Originally, Peter's name, he was called Simon. Later, he was called Simon Peter. He was a Galilean fisherman. He was one of those men that the Lord had called, that he told them to be fishers of men. We find in the Gospel of John that it tells us that he and his brothers, Andrew, was from the village of Bethsaida, and they were disciples of John the Baptist. They were following John, and then when they saw the Lord, they found that they had seen the Messiah, and they began to follow. These men, called the apostles, were men of many different walks of life and many different experiences they were to undergo and had undergone. And these experiences are to help you and I, as we mentioned this morning, that everything that's listed in the Scripture is for an example to us, to help us. And these, the lives of these men certainly will help us as we find the will of God in our life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We found last week that an apostle is different than a disciple. The apostles were chosen out of the Lord just as Peter was chosen. He was called by Christ and he is given a specific task to do, and his possessions that he had were always at the disposal of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times Jesus stayed in Peter's home there in Capernaum, and we find that Jesus used Peter's ship on different occasions. And so everything that Peter owned, everything that he had, was at the disposal of the Lord because he had literally given himself out unto the Lord. These apostles that were numbered in 12, we found last week, 12 is the number of human government. There were 12 tribes of Israel that made up the government of Israel. There are 12 foundations there in the book of the Revelation, and each one of the foundations of the New Jerusalem has the name of the apostles. And so there were 12 of them, and when they passed off the scene, when they died, there was no one to take over. There is no such thing as apostolic succession. When they died, the apostleship of the Lord Jesus Christ died also. We noticed last week that the reason for the apostles, or one of the reasons, was to sort of bridge the gap between the two different testaments and between the different types of work and ministry that God had for people. We're moving now from temple worship and moving toward New Testament church worship. And these apostles were given certain miracles and certain powers that we do not need today because we have the completed gospel, the completed scripture. We have the total sum of the word of God that he has for us. And so therefore we don't need these special actions and these special workings of the apostles today. And God took these ordinary men and made them men that would be remembered down through history. And the Lord took these folks that some of them were fishermen, some of them were tax collectors, some were single men, some were married men. And despite what the Roman Catholic Church would tell us, Peter was married, because we'll see tonight that Jesus heals his Peter's mother-in-law. So to have a mother-in-law, you got to have a wife. And so we all are identified with that. And so Brother Noble's talking about his mother-in-law tonight. I asked how she is doing. And he said she called him last night, and he said, "I'm doing good until I talk to my mother-in-law." And so they have a running battle there. But we find that Peter was a man just like everybody else, and the Lord had chosen him, called him. We read tonight where he walks on the water, and you can find in the scripture where he publicly confesses the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess one of the great confessions that we have in the scripture is the confession where Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whom do men say that I am?" Jesus asked them, and he said, "You're the one. You're the only one. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Peter was one of those men that witnessed the transfiguration as Jesus was transfigured before their eyes, and he literally sees the glorified Christ. And so we find Peter is a man of much zeal. We find he is a man that's very interesting in his study as we study him. And we find his great aspirations. And then we find also his great failures. And so tonight, Peter, Simon Peter, in these next, at least the next 2 weeks, if not three, probably two, we're going to be getting into the life and the thoughts of this man called Peter, a man that is full of zeal. And sometimes his zeal went ahead of his knowledge, and sometimes went ahead of his understanding. But he was a man that had zeal and was very, very important in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter tried to follow the Lord, and he did all, I believe, his best in following the Lord, even though sometimes he would get off track. At least he tried. Peter tried to believe the Lord and everything that he said. And sometimes Peter struggled with what he had been told and didn't have complete understanding, but he at least tried to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe him. Peter tried to live for the Lord, even though he found it hard sometimes to do that. I believe we can find ourselves in Peter many times. As we follow him, as we believe upon him, as we try to live for him, we have some of the same struggles in our life that Peter had. Hard as we try, sometimes we find that we fail. Peter tried to enjoy, I believe, his Christian life and his walk with the Lord, even though sometimes he failed at it. And so when you look at Peter, you look at a man that was full of energy and full of zeal, and not only is he the number one that is listed in all the list of the apostles that are given to us in the scriptures, in the Gospels, and also in the book of Acts, but I believe he was probably the spokesman of the group. He possibly was the number one apostle as far as those that were around him. If they want to know what was going on in the life of Jesus, they probably would ask Peter, because he would tell them. Now, John might keep it to himself, and the others might not know all the details, but Peter would tell you exactly how he felt. And Peter was a man that was certainly to be trusted in the work of the Lord. I put down here right at the bottom page, first page, I like Peter. And I believe we would like to have Peter, a man like Peter, for a friend. I believe he's a special person. I believe he was a person that would stand with you. And we know that he stood for the Lord, and even to the point of cutting off the ear of the centurion, the soldier. And somebody said you didn't carry a sword to play with. They carried swords for battle, and the only reason he cut off that centurion or that soldier's ear is because he missed his head. And that's probably true. I believe Peter wasn't going for his ear. He just, the Lord diverted his sword a little bit and cut off his ear instead of his head. And so Peter was a man that would stand for you. And he would be able to stand until sometimes the test would get more than he could bear. So tonight I want us to look at this man, Simon Peter. We've looked at here in this introduction part, and we find that he was literally just a normal person. Just a normal man. He wasn't some superhuman person. I find that the Lord doesn't use supermen. God uses just men that are willing. God doesn't use somebody that has abundance of everything. God uses people that sometimes don't have a whole lot of ability. But God uses us as we are available to Him. God doesn't use always the wisdom of the world. God doesn't always use the riches that the world and people that have all the finances and the things that they need. But God uses just normal, everyday individuals. And I believe that we find that Peter is that type of man. He grew up in Galilee, and he had brothers and maybe even sisters. The scripture doesn't tell us. He had a mother and a father. He had a childhood. Nothing different about him. He was a fisherman. In those days, fishermen, well, in those days, everybody worked 6 days, and on the seventh day they rested because they were Jews, and they had that built in their society and their system, and how that the Lord told them they were to work for 6 days and then on the Sabbath day to be a day of rest. And surely this being a fisherman was to keep bread on the table and food coming to his family. We know, as we said a while ago, according to Matthew 8, he was married, and that's normal. That's nothing abnormal. And he had had a mother-in-law. He had the struggles, I'm sure, that everybody else had in a marriage, and his mother-in-law fell sick, and Jesus comes to his house, and he heals his mother-in-law. And so we find that as he lived in that little small village of Capernaum, not a big city, not a large metropolis, just a small fishing town. And as he lived there, he was called of the Lord to follow him and to become fishers of men. We know he owned a home before, because the scripture talks about the Lord at many occasions came and spent time there in his home. And we understand that this is really in that particular area. Peter's home became sort of the base of operation and activities while in that area. And we know that that Andrew, his brother, lived also there with him. And so he's not the normal of today, but he was the normal of his day. He's not the normal of what we would consider normal, because our normalities have changed and our way of life has changed, and not most time not for the good. But Peter was just a normal, average, everyday Jewish man, and he was a Jew of beliefs and following the scripture. And Peter had a lot of trouble in his mindset of accepting Gentiles into the work of God. And Peter was that one that the Lord used to even to be shown how important it was to accept all different kinds of people. Remember that one day Peter was on his rooftop and he fell in a trance, the scripture says, and the Lord showed him a sheet coming down from heaven, had all kind of different animals upon that, and the Lord told him to take and eat, and he said, "Lord, I've never eaten anything that's unclean." Now, Peter was a very straight and staunch Jew, and he wouldn't eat anything that was considered unclean in his religion. And the Lord had to confirm to him that what the Lord had blessed and what God had given was not unclean. It was all to be used as God had told him. And in doing that, that was an illustration in Peter's life that the Gentiles were not unclean, that the Gentiles were not second-rate people, and that they had to hear the gospel, they needed to hear the message just like the Jew did. And the Lord was teaching him a lesson concerning the difference between Jew and Gentile and how we've all become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that Peter was just a normal, everyday Jewish man serving the community where he lived. He was a fisherman. And when the Lord called him, he laid down his nets and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He became an apostle. We found last week that that word apostle means sent one. He was sent on a journey. He was sent on a passageway of doing certain things. And when we study the things of Peter, we know that he was a man of great faith. Faltering faith would not have let you got out of the boat. He had great faith. Now, we always look to Peter's sinking. And that's human nature. We always think about the failures of men. We always think about where they falter. We think of Thomas. We immediately put a doubter with him. We think of John Mark. He's the one that went back home, even though later on he was used of the Lord very, very much. We think of different ones, and we always have that that mindset to think of the hard part or the difficult. But Peter was a man of great faith, and he sometimes didn't accomplish everything he wanted to. In Mark chapter number 3 and verse number 16, also John chapter 1 verse 42, his name is changed to Peter from Simon. Peter, Cephas, a small stone. Peter's a Greek word that means stone. Cephas is a small stone. And that day when Jesus said, "I'm upon this rock, I will build my church," he was talking to Peter. He gave that revelation to the Apostle Peter. Upon this rock, speaking of himself, for he was, of course, that immovable foundation. And he said, "Peter, you're just a small stone in it. You're just a little part of it. But upon this rock, I will build my church." And thank God he did begin to build his church, and Jesus himself being the foundation. Peter understood that. For later on, turn over, if you would, to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2. And verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall..." shall not be confounded. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, and the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." And so we find here Peter understood now that Jesus was the stone. Now he come to the understanding that Peter's just a small part of it, but Jesus is that stone the builders disallowed, or they didn't want it, but that stone is the chief cornerstone, and that stone will either take you to heaven or grind you and will destroy you and because of unbelief. And so we find that Peter understood that Jesus is the rock of his salvation. He decided to follow the Lord, and he got back on course time and time again because he would fall and he would go short, and he would fall short in his desire. Sometimes, we said a while ago, sometimes his zeal got ahead of his knowledge. And sometimes his zeal got ahead of his ability. But at least he had zeal and he had life and he wanted to do the best. And Peter's the only disciple that walked on the water. Now we think about him sinking, but at least he had enough faith to get out of the boat. I don't know where I would be in that. I'd probably be hidden in the boat. And I'd be somewhere where they couldn't even see me. But Peter was there, and when he found out it was the Lord, as we read tonight, he said, "Lord, just bid me to come to you, and I'll do it." Peter had all knowledge and all ability. He had confidence that he could do what the Lord told him to do. But so many times in his life, he would see the waves and the winds boisterous about him, and he'd begin to sink. But you know the good thing about Peter, he knew who to call upon. And he said, "Lord, save me. I have made a mess of it. I've done wrong. I have faltered. I have failed. But you can take care of it and you can handle it." You know, that's something we need to learn in our life. There's nothing wrong with zeal, nothing wrong with doing sometimes what everybody says we ought not to do if it's right with God. And sometimes when we falter and fail, at least we know who to go to and say, "God, you can take care of it. You can help me. You can satisfy the need. You can take care of all the problems that I have. And I call upon you." And so we find that Peter walked on the water. If he didn't understand something, he tried to figure it out, and he tried to get the answer, and he always knew who to call upon, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter's a man of great faith. He's a man that was normal. He's a man that also had big failures. Probably had more failures than Thomas did. Thomas doubted the Lord. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see. But that's about the only thing we find in Thomas's life that we see that there's a problem there. But this man, Peter, he cursed the Lord, cursed because of the Lord. This man that was so close to the Lord and had gone through all the many blessings, he got to the point that he just said, I don't know him. I don't have anything to do with it. And the Bible says he cursed. That's a great failure in his life. He had to be corrected sometimes. I've given here Galatians 2:11. He had to be corrected about salvation. It was just the simpleness of salvation. Peter, he was a Jew. He wanted to. He tried to add some things to salvation, and the Lord, Paul had to correct him. And can you imagine the disturbances that might come because of these two men? He easily argues with the Lord. When the Lord said, I'm going to wash your feet, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. You're just not going to do it. And when the Lord would give certain things, and when Jesus said, I'm going to die, Peter said, no, Lord, you're not going to die. I'd die for you. And so he's very open with his thoughts and very open with his words. And he will argue with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't imagine arguing with the Lord face to face. Now, we argue with him all the time. We don't see him face to face. We say, now, Lord, I don't want to do this. I just really don't. I'd rather not do it. We argue with him. But Peter would stand up to his face and say, you're not going to die. I'll die for you. I'll do whatever it has to be done. And Peter would go out on a limb and say, it's just not going to happen that way. You're not, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. And so the Lord had to rebuke him many, many times. Easily influenced. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Here's one of the incidences that we just mentioned. In verse 21 of Matthew 16, the Lord has charged his disciples and concerning who he is and what's going to happen. And it says, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things that the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Here's Peter rebuking the Lord. He began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Here we find the Lord saying, I'm going to die, go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer many things, I'm going to die. And Peter, that's all he heard. He didn't hear that Jesus said that he would be killed and raised again. You see, there's the victory part of the life of the Lord. But Peter didn't hear that. All he heard was that Jesus was going to be killed. And immediately Peter says, that's not going to happen. He didn't hear all the statement of the Lord. And we find here that the one really influencing Peter in this was no one else other than Satan himself. And Jesus tells him to get behind him. And so Peter sometimes used fighting words, and he rebuked the Lord, and he would reject the message that God gave him. And so Peter had some big failures. He had some things that would go wrong in his life. But he always, in his life, was never ruined by his failures. You know, failures should never ruin us. It should build us. It should help us. For when problems come and failures do come, then we should be building upon what Christ would do in our life to help us to get through those problems and those issues that we have, those weaknesses of the flesh. We are broken many times. We are brokenhearted, our lives are in a mess sometimes because of decisions and wrong decisions and wrong choices that we've made, and we've gone the wrong direction. But we should take those times, those failures, and build upon that, and to be able to be used of God more in the future than we were in the past. But so many times we take our failures and say, I'm done. I'm finished. God can never use me again. Well, I'm glad God can use us any time so that it pleases Him. Any time that we're willing to come unto the Lord, He may not use us into the extent that He wanted to or that we could have been used, but God can bless us and God can use us. So we need to understand, we need to know in our heart that failures are not permanent. They're bumps in the road and there's things that have to be corrected, but they're not permanent and they're not deadly. They're not terminal, and we just need to get our hearts right with God and say, God, I've sinned against you and I want to go on from here and serve you the best of my ability. Probably if it had been me and I'd have went out and walked on the water and began to sink, I'd have said, well, I'm too ashamed to put my face up for anybody else to see me. I have failed. Or if it had been us and we'd have cursed and said, I don't know who he is, when just a few hours before we're ready to die for him, we'd go hide and not want to be seen because we're just ashamed. And I believe Peter was ashamed. And Peter, the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. His heart was broken. He knew what he had done, and he realized, and that look that Jesus gave him, Jesus didn't have to say a word. Just that look that Jesus gave to him, and Peter remembered that Jesus had told him that when the cock crows, you're going to deny me, have denied me three times. And when he did that three times, the old rooster crowed, and Peter remembered. Peter understood, I failed. He goes out and he is in despair. And Jesus looks at him. And he just, those piercing eyes. You know, there's sometimes that people can look at you and don't have to say a word. When I was growing up as a kid, when my dad looked at me a certain way, I knew I didn't need to say anything. I just need to say yes, sir, and go on about my business. There's certain looks that our parents have that we know that they don't have to say anything, that we just know what they're telling us. And I believe that's sort of the look that Jesus gave Peter, and he understood, he knew. But then after the resurrection, and Jesus announces he is alive and he has shown himself to all the disciples, there's one not there. His name's Peter. And he tells them to go tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter. I want to talk to him. Well, what a blessed, and we don't have the conversation. It's not recorded in the scripture what it was all about, but I believe it was a mending time and a blessing time and made Peter a great preacher of the Word of God. Peter was normal, yes. He had great faith, yes. He had great failures, but he also was a great preacher. After the resurrection, Peter's a different man. He's a totally different person. Up until that time, he was argumentative. Up until that time, he was ready to fight. He was ready to cut your head off. He was ready to tell you what he thought. But after the resurrection, Peter's a different man. He becomes a preacher now. And he had some good examples. He had John the Baptist. He was a follower of John. He was a disciple of John the Baptist before he became a follower of Jesus. And by the way, Jesus took all of his disciples out of the group that were followers of John. And he had the examples and he knew Jesus, and what else could he have other than those two men that would point and direct him? Peter became a great preacher. He became a good shepherd over flocks of the churches that he had started. But he wasn't the chief shepherd. He knew who the chief shepherd was. He knew who Jesus was. And over in 1 Peter chapter 5, what's so good about Peter is that he lived the life as an apostle with the Lord, and then the Lord permitted him to write a couple of books, 1 and 2 Peter, and so many of those things that he learned, so many of those things that were in his life, it's given to us here in the book of 1 and 2 Peter. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither be being as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So Peter knew who the chief shepherd was, even though he was a shepherd of a church, and he was one that was helping and writing to these elders of the church, and he tells these preachers to feed the flock of God. The Lord's made you overseer of that, and you don't do it because of money, you don't do it because of constraint, you do it willingly, you do it out of a willing heart, you take oversight, and you do it with the right and ready mind, and not to be lords over God's heritage, but just to be a shepherd. Because when the chief shepherd comes, he'll bless you, and he'll honor you, and he'll give you the blessings that are due. And I believe if we would, as pastors and preachers and different ones serving the Lord, if we'd take Peter's admonition, and we do it just simply because God has called us. We believe in a God-called ministry. And so many people today choose a profession, and they want to be professional, and there's nothing wrong with being professional in our attitude and ways, and it should be that way. But we are not just for profession's sake. Preachers and missionaries and evangelists and men that are standing behind pulpits, we're here because God has placed us there. We better be there because of that. Because that's God's call, and to realize it's not for what the world has to offer, but it's what God can give us. And so Peter was a great preacher. Now, he was not sent to the Gentiles. I don't believe he'd have fit with the Gentile people. Paul was the missionary, and Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, but Peter went to the Jews, and he preached to them, and God used him, and he used him in a great way. And under the preaching of Peter, you can calculate it up yourself, but somewhere around 20,000 people were birthed into the family of God because Peter stood and proclaimed and preached. He was used of God. Well, this is the same man that cursed. And this is the same man that said, you'll not wash my feet. This is the same man that cut off the ear. And this same man that said, never would I do that. Now he has a new zeal. He has a new understanding. And God had given him privilege to preach the gospel. He had the ways of understanding and unlocking the problems of life. And we have the keys tonight to do some of that unlocking as Peter did. We don't have the keys of death and hell. Those are reserved for Christ. Those are his. But we do have some keys. And we have some ways that we can win people and tell people about the Lord and give them the message of salvation. And Peter was just used of God. I put down here, Peter was all this because he had three things. Number one, he had a right beginning. He became a Christian, became a child of God, a follower of the Lord. We'll only do for God because we're saved. Now, there's a lot of folks tonight in churches that are not saved. They have been placed there. They have been confirmed there. They have gone through all the rituals of their church, but that's not the right beginning. The right beginning to serve God is to have salvation. To be born again, it's a new beginning. To answer the call that Christ, and there's no life outside of the Lord Jesus. Here Peter heard about Jesus from his brother Andrew. And he watched Jesus teach and heal. And now Peter's left all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes great faith to have this start that Peter had. Because he had the right beginning, he could be used of the Lord. Not only that, but he had a constant surrender. Even though he had failures, even though he had problems, even though he had his difficulties, he continually surrendered to the Lord. Brokenness, brokenhearted. Able to admit he was wrong. Able to realize that he had sinned. Able to understand that it is Jesus that I must call upon. Able to believe God. Able to do what he told him to do. And then, number three, a good reason to stay in his Christian walk simply was because he loved the Lord. You know, sometimes our love doesn't show as it should to the Lord. Sometimes Peter's love did not manifest itself as it should have. But you cannot read the life of Peter and doubt his love for Christ. For he would have done anything the Lord asked him to do. At different times he would have done more than would be humanly possible. Even though he might fail at trying, he would try. And so Peter, he was a man that was used of the Lord. And this is just a general, tonight, just a general account of some things in his life. And there in conclusion, I put, what makes us different than Peter? What would make us so different? The only difference is we can't be an apostle and he was, but we can be a disciple. We can be a follower. We can be a believer. We can be zealous. We can do all these things. And of course, we will fail sometimes, but we can go to the one that would help us, the one that would heal us, the one that would take our broken heart and mend it and make it as it should be. You know, tonight, we've had a great start. As a Christian, as a believer, we had a great salvation. That's the start. And we have also need to understand we can constantly go to the Lord and surrender our life and just say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll do it. If I fall on my face, I will follow you. And when we fall on our face, we get up and say, Lord, I'll follow you some more. So we can have a great start. We can have that constant surrender. And above all others, if we walk the Christian walk and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be that we're in love with him. As Peter loved the Lord, we love him. He that gave himself for us that we might have eternity and eternal life and eternal salvation, it's all just simply because we love him, because he first loved us. So Peter's not a whole lot different than you and I. I'd like to have some friends like Peter. I'd like to have some folks and that be willing to go to battle as Peter did. And I'd like to have some friends that knew the close relationship of following the Lord Jesus Christ even into the depths of despair simply because we love the Lord. May God help us tonight to in these areas of Peter's life because we have the same thing. We're just normal people. We can be people of great faith. And we will have a lot of failures, and we can give the gospel out to everyone, and it's all because, simply, we love him. We love the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did for us. May God help us to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sent out from him to tell the story to a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. That's really our job. That's our task tonight, to tell the world Jesus is the Savior. Lord, help us to be like Peter, to have the zeal and the love, compassion, the commitment that it took for him to do what he did for the cause of Christ. And again, next week we'll get into some more details of Peter's life. All right, let's